The kingdom of heaven is like to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I often wonder why it takes so much work to just gain one convert. I fully realize that all conversion comes only from the grace of God, since only God can give the supernatural gift of faith, and salvation is by grace. But the saints are also clear that God answers our prayers and penances for conversions of loved ones more than if we didn't do anything at all. So in my darkest moments, and I know often people say priests shouldn't reveal their own temptations from the pulpit, but I've been answered to it, so I think it's okay to say it this time. In my darkest moments, I have to be honest that I often wonder, why does Satan work so hard for the few souls I pursue with apostolic zeal? Why can't Satan leave my few alone if he already has so many in his grip? Well, I was reading the Church Fathers on preparation for today's sermon, and St. John Chrysostom opened my eyes to a beautiful and powerful answer I'd never considered. It comes from the Gospel today, that which I read right before the sign of the cross. The kingdom of heaven is like to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, until the whole was leavened. Did you get the answer there? Neither did I. That's why it's good to look to the Church Fathers, because they can reveal the riches of sacred scripture that we couldn't on our own. St. John Chrysostom was a 4th century monk priest who was dragged more or less against his will from his desert hermitage into the enormous city of modern-day Istanbul. Back then it was Constantinople, probably the second most important seat of Christianity next to Rome in the 4th century. It was in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, which is now a secular Muslim state, mostly Muslim. They don't take their faith too seriously. I was actually in Istanbul last year and got to get to the Hagia Sophia, and the Franciscan I met gave me a tour of this enormous, beautiful church. Now, well, later it became a mosque, and now it's sort of a secular museum. And he was kind of taken against his will, as a lot of those monks were, to then have to be moved into this big city where he was preaching, and he was just a great bishop to so many people. In fact, many of the powerful hated him because he preached so strong against their abuses that he was exiled numerous times. But every time that he came back, right on the Bosphorus at night, would be all these boats with the lay people with little teacups, tea lights lit up, these candles lit up, welcoming their dear father back into the city. Lived an extraordinary life, very much like our Lord's, of just rejection and love at the same time. But anyway, St. John Chrysostom was sort of a clone of his hero, St. Paul, a few hundred years before Islam came onto scene. And Chrysostom, you have to remember this, because I'm going to quote him at length in this sermon today. He wasn't preaching to monks in modern-day Istanbul, what was used to be called Constantinople. This was a Christian country, 4th century, Turkey, just as Christian as Italy was in the 4th century. And he was preaching to Christians like you, people who took the faith seriously, still needed work, and were filling a beautiful basilica. But it wasn't to monks he was preaching. What I'm going to quote you is quoting, you know, preaching to lay people. And I think Christianity sounded a lot like today. Well, anyway, he told his people when he was preaching on this same gospel today, even though as an Eastern Catholic at that time it would have been a different series of calendars, it's still Matthew 13 that we have his writings from, and that's today's gospel. What he says to the people is it did not take many people to convert the world. This is why Christ chose just 12 fishermen. St. John Chrysostom says that Christ, quote, wished to give an indication of greatness. Thus he, as it were, says shall it also be in the preaching of the gospel. For though his disciples were more timid and more unlettered than all others, yet since there was in them great power, the gospel was preached throughout the whole world, close quote. St. John Chrysostom is admonishing his flock as if they were the apostles speaking to Jesus. Let you not therefore say to me, what can we do, 12 men against so great a multitude? For it is this that makes your power so striking, that amid the multitude of the world, your influence is not lost. For the leaven is placed in the dough, and not simply placed there in the dough, but hidden in it. So likewise, when you shall be one with and commingled with your attackers, then shall you overcome them. And as the leaven hidden in the dough is not destroyed, but rather changes the dough into its own nature, so shall you also do it in the preaching of the gospel. Be not therefore fearful if I have foretold that tribulations will come, for your light no man will extinguish, but will rather overcome all men. Okay, St. John Chrysostom is saying three things I want to highlight for you here. First is this, that the number of Christians in a culture doesn't matter as much as the holiness of the few. Anyone who bakes bread knows how little leaven is needed to raise the dough. Probably remember King David's best friend Jonathan. When he was fighting the Philistines himself, it wasn't just David fighting the Philistines. Jonathan was also fighting the Philistines. And one of my favorite lines from the Bible is 1 Samuel 14:6. Come, let us go over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. For nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. And Jonathan does just that. He goes over to the garrison and God fulfills his word. And he beats the Philistines, rather. It says, every man's sword was turned upon his neighbor. Philistines ended up killing themselves because of Jonathan's faithfulness and God answering that faithfulness. So it doesn't take much. Number two, what I get from that quote from St. John Chrysostom on today's Gospel of Matthew 13 is, stop wishing for a different life. Oh, maybe I could have been a nun and then I'd be holier. If I had been a father to all these kids in 14th century Italy, then I'd be a lot holier because the church wouldn't be so corrupt. We all have all these excuses, you know? And I do the same mind games, don't get me wrong. But God is in control. Number three, St. John Chrysostom says, for the leaven is placed in the dough, and not simply placed there in the dough, but hidden in it. When you shall be one with and commingled with your attackers, then shall you overcome them. So he's saying, don't dream about being apart from the culture of death. Don't dream about being outside of Jacksonville. Don't dream about a perfect world of just, if you were in a different century, you'd finally be surrounded by better people. It might be true, but it's irrelevant. God has placed you here and now and given you the graces to triumph over this culture of death by living the culture of life in your lives. He knew what he was doing when he placed you in the 21st century. One family living a culture of life in your neighborhood will affect the whole neighborhood. You commingle, that means mixed, you mix with a culture of perversion. If you live holiness, will change all of this city, is what Chrysostom is saying. All of this city. Jesus started with only 12 apostles. If just the families in this congregation live holiness, evil in this city will come to an end, or at least be greatly reduced. A couple examples in the history of the church. On Friday, a couple days ago, the second class feast was St. Gregory Thaumaturgus. St. Gregory Thaumaturgus. That means St. Gregory the Wonder Worker. And he was called that because of the extraordinary amount of miracles that came from him. In fact, Friday was his feast day, not only in the traditional Latin Mass calendar, but also the Russian Orthodox calendars. Because this was before the schism. He was a 3rd century monk, priest, bishop. Actually also in Turkey. We were talking about Turkey earlier with one of his future bishops. Couple hundred years down, 150 years down the line, St. John Chrysostom. But St. Gregory the Wonder Worker was given so many miracles, he was sort of a Turkish Padre Pio of the time. In fact, at one point he prayed that they wanted to actually build a church next to this mountain, but they couldn't build it, and he prayed and literally the mountain was moved. This isn't apocryphal. It actually says that in the old Roman breviary that I pray. The mountain was moved by his faith. And actually, if you look in the Russian Orthodox accounts of his life, it's the exact same thing. St. Gregory the Wonder Worker had arrived in a place in Turkey, and there was only 17 believers, 17 Christians, 17 Eastern Catholics when he arrived in this one city. After his episcopate there, When he was about to leave, he asked one of his friends, "How many unbelievers are left here?" And they said, 17. And he said, what says in the Roman Breviary, he thanked God and said, "There was just that number of believers when I became bishop. There was just that number of believers when I became bishop." The Roman Breviary says, by his prayer, he changed the location of a mountain which was obstructing the building of a church. The traditional Latin Mass a couple days ago shows that from Mark 11 is the gospel for St. Gregory the Wonder Worker. "Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Arise and hurl yourself into the sea,' and does not waver in his heart, but believes that whatever he says will be done, it shall be done for him." He's really worth a Google, that St. Gregory the Wonder Worker. Easy to remember, 17 believers when he got there, 17 left, 17 unbelievers left when he left, and it's the 17th of November in the Roman calendar and the 17th of November in the Russian Orthodox calendar. So he's definitely worth a Google. But St. Gregory shows us why Satan works so hard on the few. Satan works so hard on the few not in his grip because the holy person affects tons of other people by living a vocation well. Chrysostom goes so far as to say that the leaven hidden in the dough is not destroyed, but rather changes the entire dough into the nature of the leaven. How amazing is that? The leaven changes the dough into its own nature. This means that Christians turn pagans into their nature by just being. Just being. Doesn't mean they can attain salvation without baptism. It means that it leads them to the waters of baptism if we would just live the gospel. Remember how Abraham bargains God not to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18. God's ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sins there. Abraham says, how about if there's just 50 holy people there? Will you not destroy it? God agrees. He won't destroy it if there's just 50 holy people there. Then Abraham starts bargaining him down. It's like a Seinfeld episode. He starts bargaining him down. How about 30? Will you do it if it's 30? God agrees. If there's 30, I won't destroy the whole city. How about 20? God agrees, only 20. How about if I get it down to 10? How about if there's just 10 people in Sodom? How about you not destroy it? God agrees. For the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it, God says. It's right out of Genesis 18. For the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it. Sodomy, you know what sin that is. Truly, we can speculate with confidence that San Francisco has not been destroyed because there are 10 righteous people there. I'm serious. One more modern account from a 19th century story, or rather account, is this, that the devil told St. John Vianney, if there were 3 such priests as you, my kingdom would be ruined. Amazing. The devil said to St. John Vianney, just 150 years ago, maybe it was 200, 150 or 200 years ago, if there were 3 such priests as you, my entire kingdom would be ruined. Kingdom on earth, that is. Of course, this came at a high price of St. John Vianney fighting the devil, so much wrestling with Satan that St. John Vianney once joked, oh, Luc Rapin and me, we're almost chums. That's maybe why you feel like you're barely surviving as a Catholic in this world, like you get washed up to shore and you're barely surviving. It might be that you're actually doing something right. Raising holy children affects many more people than you'll ever know. Tiny, tiny, tiny bit of leaven affects the whole batch of the extended family, of your neighborhood, of a city, of the entire Catholic Church. So never think your work is in vain. Your son might become a priest and renew the whole church. Or even if you don't have any sons who become priests, remember what I quoted on Christ the King Sunday from Blessed Catherine Emmerich. She said, even if there remained but one Catholic, the church would conquer again. So let none of you, says St. John Chrysostom, be troubled because of your fewness. For great is the power of the gospel, and that which is once leaven becomes in turn a leaven for the remainder. And if 12 men could leaven the whole world, how unprofitable are we that, though so great in number, cannot convert those who will remain? But you will say, says St. John Chrysostom, The saint continues to put excuses in his lay flock's mouth as to why we don't convert the world. But again, you will say, the apostles worked miracles. In other words, the apostles had the power of miracles. We don't. How are we going to go convert Florida? St. John himself answers, it was not because of their miracles that they were remarkable. Oh, he admits that they did them all. He's not one of the kind of modern literary scholars of Scripture that says the miracles didn't happen. He admits they did all the miracles you read in the Bible. But he says, were anyone to give you the power of choosing between raising the dead in his name or dying in his name, tell me, what would you choose? Now, when I read that preparing for this sermon, I thought, I would much rather raise the dead than be tortured to death. I mean, I probably could take a bullet to the head praying in front of an abortion clinic if it was a quick martyrdom, but I don't know if I'd be very good at a long martyrdom. So when I read that, I thought, I already don't have the right answer. And so John Chrysostom gently shows me why my answer was wrong. He says, yet the first is a miracle, the second is but a good work. And should someone offer you the choice of either turning grass into gold or of regarding all gold as grass, would you not choose the latter? And rightly so. For the first would draw all men above every other thing. For should they see grass become gold, they would seek this power, as Simon the magician did, and the love of wealth would be increased in them. But should all men see you despise gold as though it were grass, they would, in part, themselves be healed of the disease of craving for it. But should all men see you despise gold as though it were grass, they would, in part, themselves be healed of the disease of craving for it. We'll finish with one more quote. And as you hear what Chrysostom says about despising riches and being generous in almsgiving, it doesn't mean live a sloppy life with unkempt children, but just apply this last line from John Chrysostom to your life on how you can convert the whole batch of unbelievers in your neighborhood and workplace. See how the beauty of a good life can help others more? I mean by a good life not simply fasting, nor lying down in sackcloth and ashes, but to despise riches as they should be despised. To have charity towards your neighbor, to give of your bread to the hungry, to control your anger, to seek not after vainglory, and to turn away from envy. This is Christ taught us, who said, learn from me because I am meek and humble of heart. These are the supreme virtues, charity, forbearance, and almsgiving, which even surpasses virginity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.